know, Stop Slut Shaming movement began, I feel like it was because if you're a consenting adult and you're dating someone and you enjoy them and you find them attractive enough to do that, then you should be able to do it without being shamed. Versus if Louis Vuitton came out with a new bag that you really want and can't afford it, you're going to sleep with somebody that you're not even attracted to. Again, it is your choice, but that probably makes you a
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I'm Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, join my co-hosts, Rozzy and Buff. Fellas, you know what to do.
Beyonce is now the highest selling female recording artist for a tour in history, meaning that she beat out Taylor Swift. So, yep. She has actually sold more tickets for her tour than Taylor Swift did for hers. And I blame Travis Kelce. But either way it goes. That's shout out to B. Again, we say she's the GOAT. Yeah, she is the GOAT of pop. At this point, would it be pop? She not the GOAT, Buff?
So I know the conversation we had, and In a most blasphemous way, it was a chart of four artists: Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, Beyonce, and Prince. And I first said that, you know, because it said which one would you get rid of, and I'm like, I'm good if all four of them are gone. But I did pick Michael Jackson over Beyonce to go first. But that doesn't mean I don't realize that that dude was the GOAT. She may have made the most money, but I still got him as the GOAT of pop.
All right.
I got her number two. She is the greatest female entertainer of all time. Okay. I think.
All right. So greatest living of all time.
We'll go with that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Greatest entertainer alive. Yeah, we can say that. All right. But speaking of sales though, Speaker Box, The Love Below just beat out the Eminem Show for the highest number of sales of a rap album. So now Outkast is actually the highest selling. They have the highest selling album in history of rap.
Wait a minute, Eminem's Show was more than the Marshall Mathers LP.
Yep.
What happened?
Also, they count it as twice since that's a double album?
No, they're counting the sales of the album. So
it's Speaker Box, Love Below.
Yeah. / Love Below. Yeah.
What sparked that? I mean, that came out in 2004.
The anniversary, probably. It was the 25th anniversary of it, like last week, maybe.
No, not 25th. That came out in 2004.
I'm thinking about Equipment Ina. I'm thinking about Equipment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But it's just like, you know, it was, people have still been buying that album. Like, I don't know many people that's going out still buying the Eminem Show. And so
it's funny.
They've constantly been kind of keep going up.
I'm going to pull this up, and I'm going to show you the last thing I was listening to on, literally. I literally was just listening to this on Spotify.
Yeah, and you also have to think, now they count streaming services as sales, too. And so, like you said, people still listen to a lot of those
songs. So, baby, it was me.
Ferg, you're the one that pushed them over the top.
Yeah, I literally was listening to this.
Insert an applause line on that one. Right
there. I literally was listening to that today. Like,
between it might have been you or it might have been Jimmy Butler, because, you know, it looks like he wanted to be in the Hey Y'all video.
My baby don't mess around because she loved me so.
Did y'all see that picture though, man?
I got so many questions. I'm a Miami Heat fan. I'm not in the organization. I got so many people like, what's going on?
For anybody who's never had braids, a lot of times braiders blow your hair out, and they press it. And so I'm just thinking that he had it pressed, or he got it blowed out, didn't have a chance to get it braided up, and he just was like, you know what? I'm going to do it.
No, buddy, that was intentional. That, was that boy came with that sitting over that one eye. And kept,
they're calling it the emo look.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, but man. I mean,
in the words of Riley Freeman.
Hey, man, that dude can ball.
He can ball. He can ball.
Did you see the video of him in the photo shoot with was that Bam Adebayo?
Mm. I didn't see it.
Like they just couldn't take him seriously because he was
like flipping his hair and everything.
Yeah, he called the lady over to fix his hair. Like, can you? and he was like, nah, dude, I can't even play like this. Yeah, so it is what it is.
Yeah, man, that's been about it. Oh, on Castlevania Nocturne, I told you guys about it. I did get a chance to watch that over the weekend, and it is as good as I thought it was going to be. So again, if you're into vampire shows, if you're into you know, kind of goth type stuff, it's really, really, really good. So just go check that out, man. It's well worth. They're 30-minute episodes. I think it's only like 6 or 7 episodes, so you can get through it really, really quickly. So go check that out, man. It's good.
Did we mention I feel like we mentioned that a while back. Toys R Us coming back.
Mm-hmm. We did it. Yeah. We talked about it after the they said it. They announced it, but I think they're opening stores now.
Yeah, but I think I'm hearing rumors it's going to be like on cruise ships and stuff like that. So it's not going to be in airports. It's not going to be anywhere like in a regular retail area.
Yeah, I don't think they're ever going to bring back the Toys R Us that we knew, where you go in and it's like a full department store type thing. I think it is going to be smaller, kind of almost like what KB Toys used to be.
Spaces. Yeah, it was funny because I don't know, I was thinking, I was with the kids the other day. We went to go see the Paw Patrol movie Saturday morning, and part of me was like, well, I was planning what my next move was while the Paw Patrol movie was going on, because I just really wasn't watching the Paw Patrol movie, but which wasn't bad for a kids movie. It's entertaining for little kids, but I was like, man, maybe we'll go to, because they were talking about the new toys. Hey, buddy. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll go to, you know, some place and get them the new Paw Patrol toys. And it was just like this. Almost depressing knowing that all we could do, the best case scenario, was a couple of aisles in a Walmart. You know, like they'll never get that experience of going to a huge blowout toy store like that. Unless they, you know, and if it is, it's going to be some, you know, specialty toy store. They'll never get the KB toy store thing in the mall. Cause I probably went to KB more than I went to Toys R Us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cause you stopped by KB anytime y'all went to the mall, right? So you at least got a chance to walk through and do that. But KB like you talk about the aisles of Target. KB was smaller than the aisles that's in Target or Walmart as far as toys. Oh, yeah.
I guess it was a whole experience of just like, I'm in a toy store. But maybe they can do pop-up toy stores like for the holidays. I think around Christmas, you know, right after Halloween, start setting them up. And
If I was them, I would try to get some space in like Times Square or something like that. You know how they have the M&M store there? I think they'll do really, really well in really touristy spots that kids go to. So then kids would go and they would have that experience and do stuff like that. Same way the M&M store does.
They would be competing with FAO Schwartz in Times Square.
Yeah, but like people aren't going to FAO Schwartz like with their kid. Like normal people aren't going to FAO Schwartz spending, you know, $30 to get their kids a toy. Like going normal. In there, a teddy bear is like $200, $300 there. So yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, not saying I've been in there or anything, but yes, it's expensive.
Yeah, that's pretty damn expensive. Buff, do you want to give us a kind of a quick recap of what happened this week?
Not
in
really.
Politics?
Not really. We avoided a shutdown. I was happy about that. Last time we recorded, I was feeling the pressure of the possibility of not getting a paycheck. So I was happy they reached a deal on that. They decided to pass a CR, continuing resolution for the uninitiated, that expires November 17th. Rizzy and I were talking before we started recording. It depends on who they elect, the House elect, as their next speaker, on whether or not I think they'll go into a shutdown or not. Because if they, you know, elect someone that is hell-bent on sending a message by shutting down the government, then that's exactly what will probably happen. So I'm hopeful, but we'll see. Because, you know, not getting a paycheck, but still having to work on top of that is not ideal. But right now, man, Republicans on the House side are in disarray. And while I try not to, I try to never criticize Congress because of where I work, but I just feel like this is a fact. We have never had a Republican speaker that didn't leave, a successful Republican speaker that didn't leave under some type of embarrassment, shame, or scandal since the 1950s. And I don't even know about the one in the 1950s because I haven't looked up what they did. But if you think about McCarthy, first time ever got ousted. Before him, Paul Ryan said, man, Paul Ryan was young. He was like, man, I can't deal with these members. I'm out. He left. What's the dude that always cried? Boehner. Boehner was like, you know what? I've had enough of these cats. I'm out. Before him, it was Dennis Hassert, who had a little, that whole Penn State scandal with molesting little boys. He had that going on. Then Newt Gingrich. You all know how he left. He left. So, and before that, there's a bunch of Democratic speakers until the 1950s. So I would stress, if you are a member of the Republican Party, to choose wisely, because you don't have a good record on past speakers. So that's what's going down with that. It seems to be strike season. We have another strike, the largest healthcare strike ever with Kaiser Permanente. We just got over the actors, the writers.
Right.
They just ended theirs. The UAW, they're still in their strike, right?
Yep.
Yeah, they're still. Yep. Yeah. And they had a sitting president stand on one of their picket lines with them. I think that was the first time ever, or first time in a long time. Man, COVID caused so many problems, not related to the obvious, like as far as death and sickness. But you got workers, because a lot of these, especially like with UAW, they gave in a lot of concessions, you know, during COVID. I think these workers at Kaiser, same thing. And now they want what's coming to them and they're not getting it. So they're like, okay, we're striking. So it's just interesting to see how these people are, fighting for their demands and things like that. And I just mentioned how it's tough to not get a paycheck. That's got to be a hard thing to decide, you know, we're going to be willing to go without in order to hopefully win the long-term war, man. So it's just interesting to see how all of that turns out. And last, man, I just want to say free Commander. Free my dog, Commander. Literally. The White House's dog, President Biden's dog, has been kicked out of the White House after several reports of Biden's Secret Service agents. This dude ain't getting no trial. He wasn't seen before no judge or anything. They just kicked this man out without any type of due process. And I'm not saying he's not guilty, but he at least needs his day in court. So free my dog, Commander.
Oh, man. Oh, I will say with the Writers Guild, did you guys hear about Drew Barrymore, I think is her show or whatever, her writers, did after the strike ended, they refused to go back to her show because she was going to try to start her show back up and cross the line. So they refused to go. So she has no writers, even though the writers strike stopped. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, dang. It's crazy.
I didn't know she had a show. So that's news to me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't really follow Drew Barrymore like that, but hey. With that being said, we saw Ollie. Is Sophie up?
She is. Hold on one second. Let me see. Make sure she's not in the bathtub.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello.
Greetings, Sophia.
Greetings.
How's it going?
Very well. How's it going?
Fantastically well, I must say.
Fantastically fantastic.
Is your hoodie on backwards?
Yes.
Any particular reason?
Because I put it on backwards.
Okay.
Is that what enough. Your kids, that what your kids do now?
That's what the cool kids do.
Oh, okay.
It's coming right. Back. We had a group back in our day called Crisscross, and that's literally they used to dress with their clothes on backwards.
Maybe I'll join that group.
Yeah, because he does put his shirt on backwards every morning.
Yeah, he has to fix it every morning.
Some people just don't learn. I guess he's ahead of his time. No, that wouldn't make him ahead of his time.
He's behind his time.
Yeah. It's weird. Well, all right, fellas, let's go ahead and jump into it. Sophie, I'm ready. I feel like I have the answer.
No. How does Darth Vader like his toast?
On the dark side?
Yeah.
Dang it! Now what am I supposed to do?
Told you I was feeling it.
What do I do now?
The force is strong on this one.
No!
Are you looking up a new one?
Yes. Can't she stop me.
She has to win.
Yes, I do.
It's not about winning or losing. It's about how.
No, it is about winning or losing.
Yeah. If you're not first, you're last.
Yeah, I got one. How do you fix a cracked pumpkin? With a pumpkin patch.
Yeah.
No.
She's like, no.
Don't give him time. Don't give him time.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah,
well done.
I just say Ruben's got it. I'm not letting it happen again. It's not going to slide next week. I'll be back next week and it'll be better.
Faster. Enjoy New York.
Enjoy New York. So, Riza, have you had your pumpkin spice latte yet?
I haven't. I'm not a huge pumpkin spice person. So, yeah, I don't really care for it.
That's just surprising. I just feel like every seasonal...
Now, when that McRib comes back...
Oh, it's back, isn't it?
No, it's not back. They're bringing it back, even though they were supposed to. It went on its farewell tour, but I knew it wasn't going anywhere, so I wasn't even really worried about it.
Yeah, I feel like the McRib left in 1996. I feel like they retired its jersey or something, and it just keeps coming back. It's horrible.
It's good for what it is, man. I mean. It's like going and getting a stop sign pizza. It's not great, but it's the nostalgia of it all. And so
what you're not going to do is belittle the stop sign pizza by comparing it to McRib. Feel like the school McRib sandwiches are better than the actual McRib sandwiches.
Whoa. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Now the school Salisbury like steak.
Yeah, I feel like the school Salisbury steak was actually what they put on there.
They just didn't put the sauce. They changed the sauces out.
Yeah, so. But no, the McRib is horrible. But you know, I digress.
No. Yeah. Who we got going? Who's first?
Probably you.
Is it me?
Yeah, we'll let you go.
All right. Well, I don't know if I'm still in one of you guys' questions, but I wanted to kind of go into it. You guys shared some of the reactions, but you guys saw that. Jay-Z told Kevin Hart that, you know, he wouldn't give his cousin $4,800 or whatever it is because his cousin came to him and said, hey, give me $4,800 and I'll give you back $2 million or whatever. And people are starting to come down on Jay-Z for not giving him that. They made comparisons like that's like saying somebody that makes $50,000 a year won't give somebody a dime. Yes, when you look at the sheer numbers of it all. But want to ask you guys, do you think Jay-Z should have given his cousin the $4,800 or not?
Well, we don't know how many times he has given the relative that money before. He was talking about the time that he hasn't. And people jump off. Let me first start off by saying, no one is ever obligated to give anyone else a single solitary penny. I think we take that for granted on what people should do, and we get into pocket watching. Well, you make this, so you mean to tell me you couldn't do this? I could, but I ain't want to. So I just want to say that first and foremost. With that said, if I personally have the net worth that Jay-Z has, and let's say, you know, he scrutinizes every single relative that asks money of him like this, $4,800 versus what he's worth, I think I would probably do it, but I'm not anywhere near that position that Jay is. And it's probably hypocritical of me to say, because I've told a cousin or two no, and I don't make even a percent of what Jay makes. So I guess it can't be a case-by-case basis. I think we're just focusing in on this time he told this hypothetical. Oh, was it hypothetical or did this really happen?
It really happened. He was telling that story of him and his cousin.
So, and people were bringing up examples of, you know, Jeff Bezos getting a loan from his father. We know Mitt Romney got a loan and all that stuff. Those are your kids. That's different. Now, if he tells us a story about how he told Blue Ivy that he did, you know, but I can't say he's wrong. I can't say he's right. It's his money. Who knows how often he's always probably hit up for money. He probably says yes 9 out of 10 times. And this might have been that one time he says nah, because we do know he's willing to. We've heard about him paying the bail for Black Lives Matter prisoners and things like that. We've heard of him, you know, giving money, getting his philanthropy on and stuff like that. So I don't know if we can call him selfish. This just may be the one time he said no. But, you know, Twitter, social media in general, is a mob. Yeah. And once they get rolling, everybody wants to pile on because everybody likes to think they're so noble and right.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. I mean, if that's the case, every time a bum on the street asks you for a dollar, you need to give it to him.
Yep.
Every time a kid asks you for money to spend on a toy, you need to give it to him. Because you're telling somebody else how to
spend
their money. Yeah. And no matter how much it is, it's not selfish. It's just maybe this is how he's wired. Like, I have something against just giving people money without XYZ. You know, maybe if they show me a business plan, I get hit. And we act like this is we all know this is not the first time anybody in his family's asked him for money. Mm-hmm. We just know this for a fact.
Yeah.
So it's like the one time that one person in your family asked you for $4,800, we ain't never asked you for nothing. You said no. Come on, people. Let people, you know, it's so easy to be hypocritical of people that we just feel like I would have done this. Everybody's such a good person, hypothetically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, people don't want to give their money all the time. How many people are volunteering for free? How many people are donating money to charities or any other organizations? How many people are giving money to? I was a broke college student. Ain't nobody in my family just offered to give me $20, $40 for lunch or whatever. Like, you know, people aren't as good as they say they are. You know, and you talked about like Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Trump, all these people who got loans from their family members. Those people are vested in these people. They grew up and they're trying to live and leave and build a legacy, help them build a legacy. Mm-hmm. He's not, I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't care what happens to his cousin. That's not his responsibility. Mm-hmm. That is not, you know, we would just assume that this cousin came with a game plan and all this stuff. The way I see it, like, even the fact that he said, "In if this story is true, you give me $4,800, I'm going to give you $2 million.
Right.
Yeah, that ain't
That alone just says you're not. This is not real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I might as well just give you $5,000 and just send you on your way. But you know, we just assume that we should be able to tell people what they do, they should do with their money. But we have selective, you know, outreach.
You know, it seems like in these type of scenarios, the people who ask and beg for the money are usually the people that did absolutely nothing for you coming up. It's the ones that you see grinding, working hard, looked out for you, who won't ask for a handout. Like, you would have to offer it to them and say, hey, man, I see you, you grinding, you need this, anything I can do. It's usually the ones that did, at least I know in my scenario, I have a cousin who told my stepdad, Byron up there in D.C. making all that money, and he couldn't let me get such and such amount of dollars. It was like, eh, I could have, but you never did anything for me coming up, so.
Right.
Yeah. Not obligated to you, homie.
And either way, you're not obligated to anybody, right? You know, we let husband or wives. The wife is, a lot of situations, you don't want the wife paying no bills. She's not obligated to help the husband financially. But this dude is obligated to give his random cousin $5,000. You know, we select and choose where people and how people should spend their money. You know, if she works hard, he works hard as his money, he doesn't have to pay for this. She shouldn't have to pay for this. But I should just give you money because you give me this. I mean, $4,800 to make $2 million. I mean, I'm pretty sure Jay-Z would have came up with that plan by now.
Yeah. Or if it was a well thought out plan, he would have been like, hey, I'm gonna give you $20,000, right? Yeah, like you said, like you don't need 48, I'm gonna give you 20, because that's a great plan. But I've seen it multiple times where people come to you with the idea and they need an influx of money for the idea, but don't have a business plan, haven't thought it out, don't know actually how they're gonna do it. I have a friend that literally tried to do that to me and was like, Rizzy, I need you to make me a business plan, and we are gonna need $10,000 to start it. And oh, by the way, I'm not in the same city as where we want to start it, so I need you to go make all the contacts and everything. And I was like, wait a minute, this sounds like a whole lot of work for me to start your business. And I was just like, no, I'm not gonna do that. So like, I really feel like he definitely didn't have it well thought out. He was really just asking for money. And the other part that I think a lot of people are forgetting about, and maybe you guys may not know it. So for listeners, the whole conversation wasn't actually about the $4,800. It was about Jay saying when he went home, he wanted to feel like comfortable, lay his head down, not worry
Sean.
About
he wanted to feel like Sean Carter.
Yeah and like just be like, I just want to hang and laugh and talk with y'all and joke with y'all. I don't want to be in business mode. And so you pitching me at the cookout, you know, at my mom's house is kind of like an automatic no, because it's like I'm not in that mode right now. And that's really what he was talking about. And that's another one that I feel is like going home and wanting to just chill and hang out with your family and not talk business and not get into that and not try to explain to somebody what the stock market is. Cause that's another one that happens to me a lot. You go home, you're with everybody, and they like, Rizzy, explain this and what's going on with that. And you know, you end up in this teaching mode instead of just being able to kind of chill. And so there's another part of it that I'm like, I feel Jay on a lot.
Well, Rizzy, I'm just trying to learn where to put my money, dog. You ain't got to call me out like that.
But, you know, and it's different when we're in a general conversation and everybody is there. Or, you know, like when you be like, Rizzy, I got to talk to you about something. Or, hey, remind me, I need some advice on this. And then I might be like, well, let's go ahead. Let's talk about it. What's up? But at least you come and you're not like, we need to talk about it right now. Right. We talk outside of it. Right. So like,
yeah, like
I feel comfortable in that conversation with you because we've had that conversation before and now we're together and let's keep talking and all that. It's not, I haven't talked to you in 20 years and now you want to tell me,
hey, it's me, Peanut. Hey, right. hey, you want me, Peanut? You know, like,
So I think I know what you're saying. I think I may be in the minority on that part of it. You're a billionaire and you're a superstar on top of that. You can't expect to go home and be able to be Sean Carter. I'm sorry. That's something you forfeited. What do you mean, why? That's just how it is. That's the only explanation I can give you. That's how it is. There is no way you're going to be a superstar rapper married to a superstar pop star who Rizzy called the GOAT at the top of the show and be worth billions of dollars and think you're going to go home to your family in South Carolina somewhere and nobody ain't going to say, let me hold something. That, I'm sorry. That is just impossible to think.
And you know what? It might be impossible, but he's already like, when I'm at home in North Carolina, whatever it is, I'm not talking business. So you can have all the, like, you can be my cousin and tell me there's no way he gonna think he gonna come home and ain't nobody gonna ask for anything. Well, you can ask all you want. The answer is no.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that.
And the thing about it is, that's probably part of the reason. It's like, man, you don't even respect me enough because you know how my, if you knew me, you knew how my world is. I'm coming home to get away. I'm coming home. Hey, cuz, when you leaving, can we chop it up before you leave? You know, I'm gonna hit you, I'm gonna hit you up when you get back in New York. That's different. Like, you respect my time. You want to talk to me about the kids, talk to me about life, talk about family, but you want to talk about business, especially like we were saying, if that's all, we never talk. Like, this is your one time to get in front of me and it's the only thing you had to say to me? You wasted your breath. Like, we're not even on that level. Like, how you just gonna ask me for money? We don't even talk. The only reason you coming by his mama house, who all over there? That's where I feel like the conversation went. Jay there, I'm gonna come when Jay get there. When Sean get there, I'm there. Rather than, you every time I call my mama house, you over there. Oh, Peanut on the phone, he wanna talk to you. No, it's, you only do it when it's convenient for you. And I'm not saying that's what happened in the situation, but I feel like home is the only place you get to escape. I feel like that's why people go home to escape. You know, a lot of the parents and stuff still, you talk to some people, like, their parents still treat them like they're not a star. You know, they still treat them like the person that they raised. And that's why they go home. That's why they get away.
Next time, Jay, use your connections to get them on Shark Tank. And let them see just how much of a plan they don't have.
Right.
And say, hey, if one of them accepts your plan and invests in it, I'll triple it.
Right.
You don't owe them that. You don't even owe them that.
It's more funny that way, though. It's more. That's how you teach a lesson, though.
You
teach a lesson.
You know, I don't even have to.
You're a cockroach. This is a horrible idea.
I don't even have to.
You need to take this idea to the barn and shoot.
I don't even have the patience to teach you. Like, it teach you the lesson, right? It's just like, no, I'm good. You asked me $5,000. The answer is no. Like, let's keep it moving. You ain't have 5,000 when you got here. I hope you weren't planning on me. Like, I was in the last step in your plan. I hope that's not the case. But on the other hand, if you're saying, hey, I have this idea, it's going to cost $25,000 to get started. I've raised 20. I've saved. I've done this to get, I'm asking you to be the last, my last angel investor, whatever the case may be. Because when you show me you've done work, because I've done stuff where I had to fundraise and, like, it's like, okay, you've put in some work. Now let's talk.
You can't be that cousin that when he was trying to come up, you wouldn't even help pass out CDs and stuff. You're like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you gotta have. Ferg makes a good point. Like, you got to be a relative that's close enough or that is putting the work. I've raised 20K. I need the rest. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to show that you have some skin in the game. You can't just $4,800. I'm going to flip it to 2 million. Man, how?
Yeah. If he would have said 20,000, you would have been better off. Like, 4,800, that's going to pay off the last of my student loans and allow me to start investing in my business. Da, 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 da. Like, that sounds more feasible than 4,800, 2 million. When you said that, everything went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Everything went out the window.
Yeah. Oh man, good question.
Well, that was kind of my question. So, Rizzy, Buff, I'm gonna let you go.
Man, this is a question that I had written down the last 2 weeks and scratched it out. I was like, I'm not gonna ask. I'm gonna go ahead and ask though, man. I forgot the girl's name. Is it Brittany Renner? She recently said she got like 35 bodies on her. Or something like that.
I think 36 or 37.
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, if you go back before that, Amber Rose kind of made it to where we can't. She definitely drove the whole you can't slut shame anymore and things like that. So I want to ask, because people were defending Britney as well, saying that shouldn't matter. Why do men care about a woman's past in the first place? And to a certain degree, I do agree with that. I think the last question a man should ever ask a woman is how many people you've been with, because the number is always going to be too high. She could say two, and that's going to be too much for you. But I want to ask you guys, what is there such thing as a is there such thing as a and if so, what is a is that even still a bad thing now? Or are we in this now sexual liberation to where, you know, it's their body, they're allowed to, as long as they're not hurting anybody, they can do what they want, and we shouldn't care about the past? Doesn't matter if you're a hoe. And what is a
hoe? Yes, there's a hoe. Yes.
I don't know why that was funny.
I don't know why. But at the same time, I think we are in that era of a woman's body is her choice and all of that. And let me kind of explain. In my opinion, a woman's body count doesn't equate to her being a like, she can, if she is out there, she's doing her thing, and, you know, she's in college and she had 10, 15 dudes over the 4 or 5 years in college, whatever, you know, 3, 4 dudes at the same time one night, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. But I don't think that makes her a ho. What I think makes her a ho is if she has like no morals when it comes to kind of the dating environment, right? If she is sleeping with that homeboy, that homeboy, that homeboy, maybe a couple homeboys at the same time, that like that, I think is what makes her a. I don't feel like it's she's like Brittany Renner. I think is 36 and she's been through 36 dudes. That's like less than 2 dudes a year, right? She could have dated every dude for 6 months to 8 months and hit that 36 number pretty easily in that time frame, right? I mean, if she started, even if she started at 18, that's 2 dudes a year. So, I mean, would you consider somebody a hoe if they slept with 2 dudes in the course of a year, right? Like, you have to think about the age that she's at and that type of thing. And like I said, I mean, I'm not judging you if you're out and you like, hey, I'm gonna have a one night stand and this, that is what it is, and I walk away. But if it's I'm smashing all the homies, if I'm like, you know, being passed around with the 2 or 3 dudes and they know and they laughing about it, and that I think is a little different. That's when I would consider you more of a ho. Like, it's the ideas behind that, right? Like, you're not kind of following, I guess, more of the social norms of that part versus just body count wise. If that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I will agree with you that there are these out here. Our definitions, I guess, are similar. I don't necessarily equate body count to being a asterisk. It can play a part. But at the same time, for me, it's more so your mindset around sex. When you're using sex to take advantage of a situation, whether it's to gain money, items, to manipulate somebody, yep, all those things, then yeah, that's a she only messes with dudes who get money so she can get money and buy us, like, that's that's the only reason she's with him. If you have enough money to get her, then you got her. It has nothing to do with the substance. I'm okay with women and men being sexually free. So if this same chick, if she just really likes, you know, start at 18, 36, two guys a year, but she's sexually free. She's working towards whatever her goals are, career goals, life goals, whatever, and she enjoys sex. And it's one dude, one day it's a broke dude, the next day it's a CEO of a Fortune 500 company because it was a connection and she got what she needed to out of that situation that wasn't a financial gain or put her in a better situation. Like, she didn't sleep with a dude to get a new job. She didn't sleep with somebody to, you know, get a promotion. She didn't, you know, for money, for groceries, whatever the hell it may be, you know, to get flued out. You know, it's, those aren't the things. You know, if she goes on vacation with a dude, like, she's really feeling him and she wants to have sex with him, there's a connection, that's different. So there's that. But at the same time, I want people to be realistic in saying, why does it matter? Because it all matters. Guys being short matters. Guys being broke matters. Your body count can matter. You can have any preference you want. You know, if you know, why does he care? You know, depends on why she slept with 36 dudes. You know, is her decision making, you know, does she have daddy issues, attachment issues?
Is she an alcoholic and she sleeps with a new dude every time she gets drunk? And so now, I can't date you because I'm scared. You're going to go out, you're going to get drunk, and you're going to end up cheating on me. Right.
Yeah.
All that matters.
You only, when you get angry, you know, I'm a great girlfriend until I get mad and we get in a fight and I'm gonna prove you wrong by sleeping with somebody. Like, we don't know what those things are. And it doesn't matter, because if call it his insecurity, because I know that's the word that they're gonna use, because, you know, guys can't have their opinion on anything that isn't necessarily aligned with what the women want to do, then okay, he's insecure and he doesn't want to date a chick that slept with 36 dudes. Okay, that's fine. Call it whatever you will. It all matters. Because I was debating with somebody the other day about this same topic, and it was, well, women don't care. Well, you can, you know, like, women give guys, you know, women really don't ask about the body count. Like, you have all the same rights and privileges as men. You guys, if women collectively said, you know, we're gonna hold guys more accountable and they can't be sleeping around with all these women to get with me. You know, there's guys that, you know, she slept with 36 guys. I'm pretty sure she's not going to have a problem sleeping with the 37th. You know, but the guy that's on the number 37 could be like, you know what? You've had a little too many people. I'm going to pass. The same way every woman who's been with a guy who has a high body count can give him that same, like, you know what? I feel like you look at sex too freely or whatever the case may be. And I'm fully committed, and I feel like people should have sex when they're in a relationship, yada yada. And her rationale can be wrong, but she still has the ability to pass. So I'm good, you know. I'm not saying she's a but she has numbers. This 36 good bodies.
When you use your body like that, when you use your body for personal, financial, or material gains, like you said in your answer, I think that makes you a the reasons behind it are what make you a. I think when this whole, you know, stop slut shaming movement began, I feel like it was because if you're a consenting adult and you're dating someone and you enjoy them and you find them attractive enough to do that, then you should be able to do it without being shamed. Versus if Louis Vuitton came out with a new bag that you really want and can't afford it, you're going to sleep with somebody that you're not even attracted to. Again, it is your choice, but that probably makes you a if you do. So, and the reason why body count does, or at least can matter, because I think it is reasonable, and this isn't, it's not absolute, but it is reasonable to think that maybe you don't value yourself that much if you have 40, 50, 80, 90 bodies on you and you barely 30. Again, all of that was your choice. But also, again, it's reasonable for a man or a woman to say, I'd rather be with somebody that values themselves a little more. They're a little bit more cautious because, yes, we are for, you know, sexual freedom, but that comes with a certain level of danger. Anytime you're with somebody, especially that you've never been with, it comes with a certain level of danger. So each time you're putting your body at risk, and let's say Razio is just a reasonable man that wants a reasonable woman, and she says, yeah, I've been with 93 guys. Reasonable Rosie may say, okay, I think I'm good.
I think that's the difference there. You might not necessarily be a that doesn't mean that you lowered your chances of finding a good guy.
And so, that's the point. Yeah. So you in the spirit of us not slut shaming, you're telling guys what they can and can't accept. Right? I don't have to slut shame you. I don't have to call you a hoe. It's just, for something. And I'm not saying you make poor choices or you don't value yourself, but something about that doesn't sit right with me. You know, I don't understand, you know, you found 40 guys that were worthy of having a part of you. You know, that, you know, for me, that just doesn't sit right with me as somebody who I'm thinking about being my future wife or the mother of my kids and stuff like that. Now, if you were, you know, like you said, I might miss out. And the thing about it, we get mad at the fact that people might miss out on people. I might have missed out on a perfect person because I didn't like her body count. That's me. That's cool. There might be a guy who, when you say 50 or 40 or 35, whatever the case may be, he might be like, cool. He might not ask. He might be cool. Or he has a deeper conversation and understands your connection with sex.
And women may not care about a man's body count, but there are quite a few that care whether or not they have kids. So we all have our discriminations that we have.
Kids, money, whatever it is. Like, we pick and choose. Stop account shaming. You know, if he only makes $40,000 a year, you can't. That man makes an honest living. Love him, da 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 da. You know, he's made his own choice, which I think is reasonable. But at the same time, I can't fault a woman for not wanting to date a guy that makes $30,000-$40,000. You know, because the same thought process. You're 40 years old and you only make $30,000-$40,000. What have you been doing with your life? Did you go to college? Are you thinking about going back to school? What do you do? You know, the same way. So you're almost 40 and you slept with 60 guys. What have you been doing with your life? How did you get here? Like, you know what? You know, weren't you married for like 2 years? Like, when did you start having sex? Did you start having at 15 or 12? Like, all these things, all these questions are reasonable questions that I might not. Deserve an answer to, or you might not give me an answer to, but it's a question nonetheless.
Yeah, and they're reasonable questions, right? I think that's the other part about it is if somebody asks your body count, it is a reasonable question. You can answer or not, right? But if they want to know, then I do feel like it's a reasonable question on whether they want to continue that relationship or not. I would never ask it, but I don't want to know. I don't. Tell me. Yeah.
All righty. We got time?
Yeah, we should be.
Okay. So my question, so we're in October now. This is today is October 5th, first week in October, and we just left September. And so September was National Hispanic Heritage Month, right? You guys knew that? Mm-hmm. Did you guys do anything special to celebrate? Buff, you said you didn't even know it. Mm-mm. Right? So
the only reason I knew because Disney Plus had the little Hispanic heritage bar that came up.
Yeah. So my question is, how do you or we celebrate or recognize non-black groups or groups that don't relate directly to our ideals or lifestyles? What is the expectation? Should we do something to celebrate months like National Hispanic Heritage Month? Because we always talk about allies and standing with people. We want people to stand with us, but other people have their own issues. They have their own celebrations, and I'll use myself and a vast number of people I know. I feel like we only concentrate on the things that are relative to us. So how are we supposed to? What is our what's the expectation of us and others? Like, how do we get better? How do we start recognizing? Or should it even matter?
I mean, I definitely think it should matter, right? And we should celebrate, acknowledge, you know, those. But I mean, if we look at September was Hispanic Heritage, but Blood Cancer Awareness Month, Library Card Sign Up Month, National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and World Alzheimer's Disease Month. And so with any type of philanthropy or service or just service in your community, you have to pick and choose because your time is finite. And so I think it's one of those things that you acknowledge those times. If you come across them, those types of things, be an ally if you need to, but it's going to be proximity to your life, right? Like if it is out of those seven or five, however many things I listed, if I am closer to Alzheimer's, and you know, and had to do something with that versus Hispanic Heritage Month, then I'm probably going to celebrate that and make a big deal out of the month for that versus, you know, Hispanic Heritage. You know, now if I married a Hispanic lady, more than likely I'm going to celebrate that more, right? It's proximity to whatever that celebration is, and being an ally for them, and standing up when you need to stand up, right? Like, George Floyd was a good example. A lot of different organizations stood up when that happened. And so if they have those watershed events and those watershed moments, then making sure that they're there. But other than that, and also when you talk about education and stuff like that, making sure that those things are called out as we educate kids and those types of things. I think those are great things to do. But I don't think it's something that I'm like, every month I got to go and celebrate some nationality. Like it becomes a little too much at that point, right? Unless I have some skin in the game to make sure that I'm doing those types of things.
Okay. So
it's just a time constraint more so than anything for me.
Okay. So you named 5 to 7 things. You say you pick and choose. Did you celebrate anything in September? Which one did you pick?
Oh, I didn't celebrate anything. I was just trying to look. I'm just trying to live my life right now. Like soccer was the thing I celebrated. But it's one of those things that, did I share something about it? Right. No, not this month, but like this in October, it is Native American month, and we went to a field trip with the kids to, you know, a reservation, and they had a festival and everything, and we went to that. So we did celebrate this month in doing that. So it's just, like I said, it's time, and it's, do I get a chance to celebrate it? Do I get a chance to do something, to participate in something to celebrate it? You know, it's when I have a chance. But I'm not super going out of my way to do it. I hate to say it. I'm not close enough to it. It doesn't affect me enough.
Okay.
But all right, so yeah, it definitely matters, but I'm consistent. I don't really do anything to celebrate any of it. I mean, on Black History Month, it's cold. Juneteenth, I make sure I don't work. And all these other months, it's like, okay, that's cool. For me, it's all about being showing humanity. So when you say we need allies, we do, but it shouldn't matter whether or not, like, I don't care how much you celebrate Juneteenth or Black History Month with us. If you, as long as you're still willing to go out there, if you're the type of person that protests and marches and stuff like that, you know, what happened with George Floyd and people coming out and demanding justice and things like that, I didn't care whether or not they celebrated us. And I don't think, you know, for me personally, George Floyd would have been devastating whether it would have been a Hispanic young man, had it been a white woman, a white man. Just to see someone lose their life like that. No, I haven't celebrated Native American Month or Hispanic Heritage Month or anything like that. But I don't need to do that in order to be an ally. I can be an ally when I see an unjust thing against a group of people like that. So it does matter, but I think it's just the type of person you are. Like, if you're the type of person that looks forward to these type of things each month, and like celebrating and doing different things, it, I would say it helps to be consistent and keep that same energy with each month. But for me, I'm the opposite. I'm consistent and not doing anything for anyone. But I, you know, I do recognize certain injustices and when bad things happen to groups of people based on the group that they are. You know, this country has targeted Muslims. We've targeted Hispanics, Black people, gay people. You know, I don't think you have to celebrate them during these months in order to be an ally for them.
Yeah, agree. You don't have to celebrate during the months, but I think there is a certain, I think we could be more educated.
Oh yeah.
You know, like I dare say we expect everybody to know that February is Black History Month. But at the same time, we probably couldn't name anybody else's month outside of Black History Month. And it's not about just celebrating. I just use that as an example because, you know, there's things that we expect people to be aware of just to be, you know, like, how do you not know if February is Black History Month? You know, I don't, any of your coworkers, if it's February 15th, like, it's like, oh, this is Black History Month? Like, dude, how do you not know it's Black History Month? You know, like, you would almost look at them like, are we friends? Are you racist? Like, you would look at them different. But yet and still, there's no other non-Black group that we celebrate. But I also wanted to talk, and I'm glad you brought up George Floyd, because we talk about causes. You know, I don't, it's education, it's celebrating, but even the support as an ally, like we said, we talked about being allies. What other cause have we championed or do we usually stand behind? You know, Hispanics have their own issues. We talk about the gay community all the time. We talk about other people. Do we support their causes as well? Have we gotten as angry as we would want somebody to get as angry with the things that we're going through? Now, some of, yes, you know, media does a good job at polarizing. America as a whole, you know, kneeling on somebody's neck for countless minutes. Yeah, it's hard to compare just because it's just in your face. But does it have to get as bad as a George Floyd for us to go support somebody else? And hey, not necessarily us, because, you know, hell, none of us marched for any of them. So yeah. I'm just saying in general, does it have to be, you know, Jesus Gonzalez gets his Anita's neck for 5 minutes for us to say, okay, this, they got it bad too. Let's go support.
I mean, it's different fights, and I think we do that. You talk about Gonzalez, but Elian Gonzalez, if you remember that back in the day, we did exactly that for him, right? I mean, and so when you talk about the border, and we talk about the illegal immigration, and when we had the kids, when Trump administration had the kids in the cages and all of that stuff, like, and the forced separation of families. So we stand up. The Muslim ban. So we stand up when there are things that need to happen, and we see, show those injustices.
What do we do for any of those?
I mean, we did the same thing. I think
we're aware, but we don't, you know. But
when you talk about being an ally, like sharing what should happen, right? I mean, a lot of people went out and lobbied Congress, and they called their senators and stuff and said, hey, this is not what you should be doing and everything.
People,
there are a lot of people
showed up at the airports for their Muslim ban.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So that, like, they did things when you talk about, like Buff said, the injustices coming up, right? When there's something that like that, I think when you talk about the marketing of their month, I hate to say it, but I lean on to them to be able to push that and do that. Right. We got Black History Month because of the Congressional Black Caucus, right? I mean, they pushed forward and they actually made it a national holiday for us or named month, right? Like, that's what they did. And the same thing with the Hispanic caucus. They did the same thing to make that a nationally named month. So, a recognized month. Asia Pacific, same thing, right? They did that LGBTQ. When you talk about it, like, those groups went out and they said, hey, we want this to be nationally recognized. I think the difference is they haven't been nationally recognized as long, right? So it's going to take time. It took a long time before Black History Week became Black History Month. And then everybody knew that it was Black History Month. And now everybody knows. I do think that over time, that's going to happen where, just like you said, did you know this? When Asian Pacific Month came out, we actually were on the show and we said, hey, we want to celebrate, it's Asian Pacific Month. We talk about LGBTQ Month or Pride Week, you know, and those type of things happening. So we discuss it, we do it, and more people will start identifying that month as that group's month. But I think more so, I hate to say it, but I'm not all about trying to teach 60-year-olds about Asian Heritage Month and everything like that. I think the biggest bang for our buck is making sure that it's identified and the kids know it in school and they grow up knowing it in school. And then they celebrate, same way we talk about Black History Month, they celebrate the contributions of those groups to society and everything and their cultures. And so people will understand their cultures a lot more. So then when those kids grow up, they're able to empathize and understand what's happening, so we can, that cycle of violence against any group can stop.
So is it the school's responsibility, or is it yours as a parent as well?
I think the school plays a big part, because one of the reasons I am so shocked when someone doesn't know February is Black History Month is because that's something that was taught in school. I don't remember any of the other months being recognized for some of the other people, but I do remember, because all we learned about was Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks. But every February, you know, it's Black History Month. McDonald's has the commercial, you know what I mean? So that's why. So awareness begins with the schools. And, you know, definitely parents can always chime in and help promote it as well.
So nobody under 18 is going to learn it.
I'm more than likely the parents are going to get, like, anybody with a child under 18 is going to end up learning it too. Cause that yeah. Kid's going to come back and say, it's this month. We're learning about whatever. So if you're an involved parent. Learn about
Common Core math.
Yeah, exactly. You learn about it. And so it's an easy way to get those parents and those adults and get them involved. I think going back to our effective thing, right? What's the most effective way to get that out there? And I really feel like that education system is the most effective way to get that word out and be able to identify those months and when they are and what you're talking about. It's very difficult for a parent. Like I said, like last month, I didn't have a chance to look at any of that because I just was busy. I think when you talk about trying to educate adults with that, it's way more difficult. And organizations do it a lot too. I know our organization, they send out our EBRGs and everything, and they say, hey, it's Hispanic Heritage Month and we're doing this event and you guys are invited and blah, 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 blah. So larger companies are, I think, help a lot too if they have those business resource groups and heritage groups as well. So,
and I'm glad you brought it up because it gave me perspective. I agree. Education has to start. I mean, schools, because hell, most of us don't know, but we have to be open. Like, we have to realize that just because we didn't learn it, that we shouldn't learn it, because you brought up Common Core math and we talk about that. But the same way kids come home talking about Common Core math and parents push back, Like, I don't need to learn this. I'm not in school, or they don't want to learn it. Man, they're just going to default back to what they know. So if the same way, you know, a parent doesn't want to teach a kid Common Core math, because there was just a post the other day and then people were just pissed, you know, like Common Core math is like teaching kids freaking to be an atheist or, you know, devil worship or something. Like, it was just like, it seems like it's met with that same vitriol.
Those are the same people that thought we were going to turn into zombies when the doggone national emergency thing came out. I don't listen to those folks. So.
But you got a lot of people, let's be honest, a lot of people aren't fans of Common Core math.
Oh, yeah.
And so I feel like the same thing, if somebody came back saying, hey, mom, dad, we got to learn about Asian Pacific Heritage Month, you know, they'll be the same parents that are like, I don't got time for all that. You know, hit me up when Black History Month come up. You know, hit me up, you know, I can tell you about Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King. So we have to be open to the change too. And accept, I think acknowledge the fact that it's going to be a challenge that we would have to adapt to too. Like, we're going to have to be more open to say, hey, for these movements to exist, it has to be effective. It doesn't have to be right, but it has to be effective. And we have to be a part of that, you know, to help other people move along. So with that being said, let's go ahead and close it on out.
Only thing I got, man, is I am going to New York this weekend for Haley's birthday. But once this drops, we will be back. And then I'm going back again the following weekend for my team sergeant from Iraq, Magali Santillan. I really appreciate you, everything that you've done. She is actually making command sergeant major. And for those who don't know, that's the highest enlisted rank that you can make in the Army. So she'll be pinning on, and I'm going up to New York. She's going to pin at the Statue of Liberty. I'm going up there. I got to be present for that. She asked me. She hit me up and was like, hey, Mac, I need you here. And so I'm going to be there for her. But I'm really, really proud of her. I know we got a couple of other sergeant majors out there that listen to the show, those types of things. So shout out to you guys. Shout out to anybody that's given that much time, that much energy to the military. So big ups to you guys. But I'm proud of her, so I just want to shout her out. Shout out, Magali. Keep doing your thing, man. Super proud of you.
Good stuff. I just want to holler at people that are, especially first-time home buyers. I know you're probably discouraged. Mortgage rates are reportedly at the highest they've been in about 23 years. It's not easy to find a home, but do not buy into this argument that it's because of low inventory. It's because of low inventory because Wall Street has been buying up homes left and right. Companies like Blackstone, Pretium Partners, they've been buying up homes and renting them at ridiculous prices. They've been doing this since, I want to say like 2008, and they've just been increasing more and more. So that is something that we need to look. I know members of Congress have been talking about doing something about it, but that's something that we can start pushing future candidates to really address, because it's ridiculous what these housing prices have been going for. And even though they've dropped some, it's still, you know, with cost of living and everything, it's nearly impossible. I would hate to be a first time home buyer right now. I really would. So I feel for you guys. They're predicting at the rate that they're going, like right now, Wall Street owns about 5% of homes in the country. At the rate they're going, they're going to be up to 40% by 2030. That's just another, you might as well say 6 years, because it's almost 2024. In 6 years, they're going to have 35% more of the homes than they already have. So we really, that's something we really need to push our government to fight back and put an end to. So just wanted to put that out there, man, give you something to think about. And also, I've been seeing quite a few videos of guys going out on dates that they wind up not being able to afford. One guy in particular told a story how he took this chick out, and before they even ordered food, she had already ordered 4 drinks. So, you know, he was like, man, I just told the waiter, I don't even think I'm hungry. And she was like, well, I am. I'm ordering something. So he runs to the bathroom, texts his homeboy, like, man, please cash out me some money real quick, man. I'm in a bind. Fellas, make sure wherever you take these young women, make sure you check the prices out. And maybe he did. Maybe, you know, nope. I can't think of any time someone has ordered four drinks before a meal at dinner, but whatever. Just make sure you can afford it. And ladies, look, you don't have to take advantage of a guy. You know what I mean? Like, don't do things that you wouldn't do if you were spending the money on yourself.
I'll take that a step further. Be considerate of the guy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times women might order four drinks before they eat, right? Like that's mm-hmm. the thing.
But they're only paying for one person.
Because you're paying for it, right? Yeah, that's what I mean. Be considerate of the guy. Like, look, be a little modest. Order a drink, two, you know, pace with the guy. Do something like that. Look, like don't take advantage of the situation because the guy is paying, right? I mean, yeah. when we talk about the 50-50, it's not even 50-50 at that point, but because he's paying, give him back the respect of not making him come out of pocket so much.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a couple of ways to look at that. That's perfect, Rodzy, because you pace yourself. And there's women that's, like you said, that can afford to go out and drink and eat like that. But I always tell people, can you afford to date you? There's a difference in you going out, having a drink and treating yourself to dinner than dating you. That same $300 you spent on dinner, double
just
that.
Game six. Right?
Yeah. You know, like, yeah. That's my thing. Like, yeah, you can afford your lifestyle, but when I have to buy two plane tickets and I have to, when we go out, you know, when you travel, you know, you're paying for yourself to eat. Everything you're doing for the most part outside of maybe room and board is doubled. So if you got a $1,500 budget to go to Paris, that becomes $3,000, you know, and it's just difficult. So don't do that. And Buff, they can look at the price, or they could have been there before. Like, you go to a restaurant, you might say, okay, when I go here, we spend about $200-$300. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what you're planning for. But when 300 turns to 500 because you ordered four drinks before dinner even started, you know, and you're like, the drinks themselves are $25 a drink.
I'm about to say, depending on the city you're in, that's $20.
Yeah, like, so you're looking at that, and then you got a tip and all that stuff. So you're like, man, I go here all the time. I spend about $300. Yeah, you know, now we're already
for the food.
Yeah, so. that's just sad. There's people who just feel like they should take advantage of people. Yeah. Or that's the expectation to date you. Yeah. And that's why you're still dating. But that's a whole nother conversation.
I keep hearing how difficult dating is. So I just want to start with, everybody be considerate of one another. Fellas, be considerate of that woman's time. Ladies, be considerate of that man's wallet. And there are other considerations to consider, but let's start with being considerate. And we can slowly end these gender wars. That's all I got.
Yeah. So mine isn't a gender war thing. My thing is a war against everybody who is supporting this notion that Colorado is like a new HBCU.
Oh, that's pissing me off.
Have you seen the HBCU shirts with Colorado CU for Colorado University on there?
No,
I'll send it to you guys. It just pisses me off because there's so many people. I know people said they were going to buy it, and I'm like, that is just disrespectful to HBCUs, period.
That's that culture vulture stuff we talk about, where you come and it's like, I'm going to take the cool parts of the HBCU part and then not the struggle that HBCUs have, not the actual culture of, hey, it's a safe space for Black people. That's what makes it an HBCU.
Yeah.
Colorado is still, I think it's like 97% white from the student population.
It's 2%. It's 2% Black, and even the state is 12% Black. So if Colorado was, the university was 12% Black, and you're representative of your the population, that still would make you an HBCU, but it shows that you're underrepresented. So I just sent it to you guys in the group. I've seen so many people support this. There's people on this kick. It is not an HBCU. It's not close to HBCU. I'm not even talking about the struggle. Take the band and all this stuff. The history. That's the first word in HBCU is historical.
Mm-hmm.
The history that was made at these HBCUs, you're talking about people like Booker T. Washington, Carter G. Like, it's freaking it's infuriating because people want to pin this. It's almost like how you said cultural appropriation, where people think understanding hip hop makes them understand the black struggle, the black community. No, you like Jay-Z. That's it. You know, you like JC. You like Dion. You like the cool swagger of that stuff. It's entertaining. I give you that. You get some of the energy behind it because of, you know, it's different from whatever you've seen from other PWI institutions right now with their sports program. But it's not HBCU.
Who's driving this? I thought black people were driving this. I've seen.
They are, but it's the same that I have black people that like, oh, going to, because I went to FAM, Florida State's right across the street. Oh, going to Florida State, like going to HBCU. No, it's not. Well, FAM's right across the street. Yeah, because they're HBCU. It's not. The fact that you have to have a black student union, and I'm not saying one is better than the other, I'm just saying it's not. You can't keep comparing the two. Now, there are challenges and struggles that you have at a PWI, you know, but it's still not an HBCU. It's still the history behind it. You know, they weren't going through the same segregation. The reason this school was built is completely different.
So I think a few things are happening here. I think before you showed that T-shirt, that's just awful. That's just bad. Before you showed me that, I was going to say that I think from what I've been seeing, most people are just joking with it and having fun with it. And just speaking to the larger point of how popular Dion is, that he's made a lily white school like Colorado seem cool. That was the message I was getting from people saying that shirt, or people who really think it's an HBCU or just like an HBCU, that's dumb and y'all are wrong.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, because it's like people spending money supporting and stuff like that. So this money, a lot of this money is going right back to Colorado. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the school that you wouldn't have thought of 6 months ago, you know, is getting the black dollar when we were talking about it. And Fred, you know, he's been on our show before as well. He's like, he went to Southern. They have a hate relationship with Jackson State. He said, I will wear a Jackson State shirt to support, to show solidarity with HBCUs and the historical, you know, what they're doing and all that stuff before I wear a Colorado shirt, giving them my money. If you're behind this, there's a lot of black colleges that are doing well. There's a lot of other black coaches that are doing well. I understand Dion's entertaining, but let's not just create this whole vibe and compare it to something that is near and dear to a lot of people. And if you've never been, I get it. You know, like, it's just, you know, you can't relate if you can't relate, and don't try to put them on the same level. So Colorado is not a HBCU ish. It's not even close. So that's been chapping my hide for the last couple of days. With that being said, let's go ahead and close it on out. Anything else? Any last words?
Shout out to Contentville. Thank y'all for tuning in. We appreciate you.
Yep.
All righty. With that being said, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.